Hey everyone, many of you are aware of my distaste for the Weinstein brothers, the most insufferable pseudo-intellectual douchebags on the planet, whose entire purpose in life is to enrich themselves by spreading lies on podcasts. Today we have an opportunity to make fun of big bro Eric some more, so let's get to it. If you're new to my channel or generally unfamiliar with these boners, check out my playlist on them so you can see how deep the rabbit hole goes. Once champions of the so-called intellectual dark web, they have done quite a lot of societal harm. Brett spreads medical misinformation that kills people, and Eric is a major figure in the academia bad, private sector good propaganda landscape that aligns with the shift towards fascism we are seeing in this administration. On the bright side, the influence these bozos wield has dwindled quite a bit lately. It's commonly known that Brett is always lying about vaccines or ivermectin or whatever dumb thing he's grifting on at any given time. This goes even more so for Eric because his bloated bloviations are even more transparently baseless, and most people don't put an ounce of stock in his ramblings anymore. I can't take sole credit for this, but I do believe my content has pushed the needle measurably in helping people see what a pathetic fraud he is. From my first video on both brothers exposing his fake theory and toxic behavior, to the whole debacle surrounding him on Piers Morgan with Sean Carroll, and the bonus episode of Sabina Hassenfelder humiliating herself by coming to his defense, Peter Thiel's favorite media puppet is not well regarded even amongst the delusional podcast bro viewership that once championed him. This spells out a severe existential crisis for Eric. This is all he has. Despite his fervent cosplaying, he's not a scientist. He's not a mathematician. He's not an economist. He's not anything. His entire identity is some guy who spews pseudo-intellectual bullshit on podcasts to polarize the public against academics and legitimate sources of information. If people no longer care about what he has to say, he becomes meaningless. And believe me, he's received the memo. But Eric doesn't go down without a fight, and he has one powerful ally he can call upon in this time of need, and that is, who the hell else, Joe Rogan. Joe almost single-handedly created this monster, and he's not going to leave Eric high and dry. Joe invited Eric on his show recently for yet another 3-hour turd fest, and Eric was so manic and unintelligible that even Joe seemed to be at a loss for how to greenlight the constant tsunami of excrement coming his way. But that only spells amusement for the rest of us. So today, let's sift through this episode for some gems. We won't have to reiterate previous content explaining how geometric unity is a fake theory that he uses to trick lay people into thinking he's a genius. That's a given, after having been exposed by the real academics he's been hiding from, and considering how all over the place Eric is in the episode, it seems like he knows the curtain has fallen on that venture. But there are still countless opportunities for Eric to wedge himself into current events, pretending to be relevant and adjacent to anything and everything, like the fucking Forrest Gump of the conspiratorial podcast universe. And witnessing it is equal parts hilarious and tragic, like watching a slow-motion train wreck on the Muppet Express. So with the relevant context covered, let's make fun of Eric on Joe Rogan, right after a quick word from today's sponsor, Incogni. As you all know, my debunking activity attracts a lot of hatred. Of course, there are thousands of angry trolls like this.
Your fucking scientism cult, bitch. I'll fucking kill you.
But the higher-ups who peddle the propaganda hate me too. How long until Peter Thiel decides he'd like to send a Palantir drone to strike me from above? I value my privacy. That's why I use Incogni. Incogni scours the internet for data brokers who collect and trade your personal information without you knowing. Finding them all and demanding your privacy would take forever, if they even comply, so why not let the professionals do it for you? Go to incogni.com/ProfessorDave and use code ProfessorDave to get an exclusive offer of 60% off. Incogni will find every last one of these data brokers and make sure that all your information, from your name, address, and phone number to social security number, medical data, and even shopping habits, remain completely private. The best part is that this activity is constant, so you can rest easy knowing that any new breaches that crop up will be dealt with swiftly and efficiently. And you can keep track of all this progress in your own personalized dashboard, which tells you the number of hits and how many they've been able to remove. Be sure to also check out Incogni company's new custom removal feature under the Unlimited and Family Unlimited plans. This allows you to submit an unlimited number of specific links for immediate removal, for a level of protection beyond the standard plan. Keep stalkers away, stop employers from accessing your information without consent, you name it. So don't wait another minute. Go to Incogni.com/Professor Dave and use code Professor Dave for a whopping 60% off. Incogni helps wipe yourself from the internet completely. They can't harm you if they can't find you. Click on the link below to claim your 60% off and get your personal data off the market.
What do you do? Are you more comfortable? You got a nice head of hair.
What?
See, for me, it doesn't matter. I feel bad when people like work on their hair real good, like especially ladies, and they get it all nice, and then they have to fucking smush it with this thing.
Okay, if you ever have that kind of consideration for me, I'm going to be very disappointed. I thought we were closer.
Some people worry about that.
No, I worry about the gray.
That you have gray in your hair?
It's yeah. Look at
Well, you're like pretty dark for your age. How old are you now?
60.
Yeah, you have fucking dark-ass hair for your age.
Look, I'm going to give Eric the benefit of the doubt and presume that his hair isn't a wig, it just looks like one. But even if it's real hair, he's very obviously been coloring it for decades. The pageantry of Joe and Eric going back and forth, pretending that this is his natural hair color, while we all sit here with our eyes rolling out of their sockets, serves as the perfect symbol for the astronomical levels of delusion that are going to be enacted for the next 3 hours.
How was your what was it exactly? How would you describe it? A speech, a presentation?
I gave a talk on dark energy to the Karch group at the U Texas Austin Physics Department.
This is one I wanted to ask you about. Sure. Michio Kaku has been saying that he believes that dark energy is possibly something leaking in from another dimension. Is that look at that face? Look at that.
Of course, Eric, the not a physicist, gave a talk on dark energy, which he doesn't know anything about. And Joe's first question is about something that former physicist turned pop sci crackpot Michio Kaku said about another dimension. Because to Joe, that means a separate magic realm, like the Twilight Zone. Who needs academics when you have this kind of intellectual banter, am I right?
Michio Kaku is doing a tremendous amount of damage to theoretical physics.
How so?
Theoretical physics is, in my estimation, the most beautiful, most powerful, most economically potent thing you can do with your life. And we are the best. The United States is, in my opinion, the greatest nation in the history of the earth for theoretical physics. Because we are cowboys, we are irreverent, we are the people who invented the atomic and hydrogen bombs, the semiconductor. This is what we do, and we've lost the ability to do it at a level that I cannot believe happened during my watch, my lifetime. So from 1984 to the present, those 42 years have been the greatest intellectual implosion, I think, that I know of. Where people just got dumber.
And we're already off to the races with Eric jumping into his favorite simulation, where he pretends to be the wise old grizzled veteran of the physics community, looking down from his perch of accomplishments and judging all the clueless young upstarts. Despite never having been a physicist or ever having done literally any physics literally ever. It has the same energy as when old drunks shout condescension at world-class athletes on the TV when they couldn't jog half a mile even in their physical prime. Eric, every single working physicist in the world is smarter than you, and you're fooling nobody.
And what do you think is the cause of that? I'm going to disconnect
string theory.
This humidifier.
Quantum gravity.
Quantum gravity did?
Yep. Mm-hmm. In 1984, there was a result, and it's called the Green-Schwarz anomaly cancellation.
There's something so amusing about Joe queuing up Eric for his tired old pageantry in the most half-assed manner possible. Oh, yeah, Eric, what's the deal? Quantum gravity, huh? Crazy shit, man. Anomaly what? You can start with your dumb stories. Don't mind me rummaging around over here not giving a shit. If you haven't heard this script before, string theory, a subfield that around 10% of theoretical physicists are working on at best, has destroyed the entire physics community because Eric, the not-a-physicist, says so.
And the guy that I've talked to you about before in UFO context, the guy who is Lewis Witten's son, Lewis Witten, happy birthday, turned 105, was the anti-gravity guy from the 50s. His son, Edward Witten, decided that the 1984 Green-Schwarz anomaly cancellation meant that we should all the smartest people should pile into one narrow subspecialty, and that that was the future. And because he was so much smarter than all of us, people listened, and I didn't.
Eric relies on the fact that absolutely zero people listening know what he's referring to. Nobody listening to Joe Rogan knows what the Green-Schwarz anomaly cancellation is. I don't know what it is, and I'm not even going to look it up. Do you know why? Because it doesn't matter. It could be a real thing or not. It could be significant or not. The only thing we need to pay attention to is what he does with it. He is claiming that one guy, Ed Witten, personally decided that all of the theoretical physicists in the world must pile into one narrow subspecialty, and he physically forced them to do so. This is not how the scientific community has ever worked or will ever work. It wasn't true in the 80s, and it's not true today. If one illustrious figure is falling down an allegedly fruitless rabbit hole, absolutely nobody will follow them, except perhaps a portion of their own research group. Eric is first fabricating a lack of success for string theory, and then pretending that nobody in the world is doing anything else. You don't have to understand a single thing about theoretical physics to instantly know that Eric is completely full of shit. This is a total fabrication that is being used to sell the desired conclusion. All academic physicists are dumb and wrong, and only the brave rebel outsider cowboy physicist talking on the super awesome free speech podcast is right. It's a profoundly stupid story, but Joe's viewers are pretty stupid, so Eric lets it rip. In order for all academic physicists to be dumb and wrong together, they have to all be working on the exact same thing, and that one thing must be dumb and wrong. Eric can pretend the one thing is dumb and wrong by confidently saying physics words, and he can pretend that all physicists are working on that one thing by lying. One huge lie plus some random jargon equals all academic physicists are dumb and wrong, so universities are all dirty woke commie hellholes by extension. And Eric is the rogue trailblazer who sees the future, and that future just happens to be the one that lines the pockets of Peter Thiel and Elon Musk and all the other oligarchs he glazes on a regular basis. Pretty fucking convenient, huh?
Eroded year by year for 42 years.
And specifically, it was the pursuit of string theory?
It's not string theory itself that's the problem. String theory is harmless. It's just a bunch of equations, a bunch of ideas, and it's beautiful mathematics in many places. So that's not an issue. The issue is the exclusion of everything else.
Right, which very obviously is a lie, since once again, only a tiny percentage of theoretical physicists are working on string theory, which means that all the rest are working on other things. Even if you consider only the portion working on grand theory of everything type research, it's a long list of candidates. Plenty of people are working on bold, exotic ideas that most likely will not bear any fruit, and absolutely nobody is stopping them, because that's how the fucking scientific community works, which Eric has never been a part of for a single day in his life.
So specifically, like, what's isolationist about string theory? Like, what is it about this one particular theory that all this thought has been pushed into that?
The claim is that there's this thing called UV complete physics. There's no way that we can have a discussion about that directly. If I could ask Jamie, could I impose upon you to call up on YouTube Wheel of Fortune and then use I've Got a Good Feeling About This?
1L. What's that?
Can I solve?
Okay.
It is a prize puzzle.
Yeah.
I've Got a Good Feeling About This.
That's right.
That's insane. That lady's a wizard.
That lady is what I want to do with my life. That is what great physics looks like. It's totally irresponsible.
This is what great physics looks like, you guys. Great physics is just like winning a game show puzzle. How can anyone take this ass clown seriously? He simultaneously throws out technical jargon to sound intelligent while infantilizing the scientific process by comparing it to Wheel of Fortune. It's his fake April Fool's Day paper all over again. What Eric wants to impart is that physics should be guided by magic and intuition and not closed-minded empiricism. He neglects to acknowledge that lots of physics has been achieved by precisely this method, brilliant insight guiding inquiry. It then just took a lot more follow-up than saying, "I'd like to solve the puzzle, Pat." But don't worry, Eric prepared a monologue to back up this analogy.
Think about all of those blank squares as orders of magnitude that you are away from the energies that would allow you to do experiments that would explain physics. And think about the apostrophe, the L in that pattern, as well as the fact that there's no R, as the standard model of physics. So right now, what you have is a debate about whether or not we should buy more and more letters with higher and higher energy, or, like, should we build bigger accelerators and spend more treasure trying to collide particles? Or should we just Caitlin our way out of this? So Caitlin Burke is my model of what I think we're supposed to be doing.
First of all, pretending that an apostrophe and an L can represent the standard model is fucking insane. This is probably the single most successful model in the history of science. I have very recent particle physics tutorials if you want to learn about this model in depth. But the claim that it can be represented by knowing two tiles out of 28, one of which was given, is not an intellectually honest thing to say. Having every single tile known except for two would be a more honest comparison. But second of all, who the fuck is suggesting that it is frowned upon to make some brilliant prediction based on some nebulous intuition? Who is stopping anyone from doing that? If somebody could decipher what dark matter is, whether it was a top physicist or some random asshole eating chips on his couch, and the claim came with rigid quantifiable predictions that were validated empirically, then the physics community would follow that thread and expand on it, and that person would get a Nobel Prize. But physics is a lot more complicated than guessing a common English phrase. Eric wants the viewer to think it's this easy because he's in the business of convincing them that they're smarter than physicists, but only science-illiterate narcissists will fall for it.
Like, the most marvelous thing about that exchange is she says, "Can I solve?" And there's, like, he's not even sure he's hearing her properly. And then finally he says, "Okay, that's gatekeeping. Can I put this article on the archive? Can I give a seminar in your department? I want to solve the puzzle." And a lot of what we're arguing about is that the string theorists are the only ones who have the right to try to solve the puzzle.
Yeah, Pat was totally gatekeeping by immediately letting her do the thing that is the whole point of the game. Fucking hell, what a tool. Any legitimate researcher can put any legitimate research on the archive, and people give seminars on all kinds of fringe topics all the time. They're just at the edge of what is empirically sound. That doesn't include pretend scientists like Eric, who are perpetually butthurt that real scholars ignore his fake science.
I wasn't allowed to say that I gave a talk in the physics department, even though any normal person would say that that happened. And I wasn't allowed to do that when I visited a physics institution in Canada. I wasn't allowed to say that I was visiting for a week, nor was I allowed to say that I gave a seminar that lasted 9 hours.
But you just did.
Yeah.
Are you a lawbreaker?
I'm breaking the rules now because I've had it.
Ooh, Eric the Rebel in a leather jacket has had it up to here with your stinking rules, you stupid nerds. I already did a whole video on his Perimeter Institute visit, so go check out that one if you haven't seen it yet. It illustrates magnificently how he coerces some kind of soft visit to somewhere reputable once in a blue moon, exclusively to launder their credibility and fuel this narrative of being canceled by the Ivory Tower. It's all he's got.
I agreed to not do this, and with these missing scientists, I've changed my mind. I'm not going to deal with these people anymore. And whatever is going on with science and the suppression of different ideas is terrifying.
Yes, Eric, cash in on a dumb conspiracy theory. Missing UFO scientists. No, it was always just a handful of unrelated people who either died because sometimes people die, or they aren't even actually dead, just retired. But whatever fuels this delusional narrative about the distributed idea suppression complex, right?
Right now we have a situation. I gave a talk at the University of Chicago. There's no record of it.
No, we all know about your pathetic economics tantrum at the University of Chicago. I did a video on that too. You just wish there was no record of it because you humiliated yourself and were exposed by brilliant minds in the field in real time who were live tweeting the train wreck.
Look, I've been lying my whole life about my relationship with the physics world because of this pressure. They can't listen to me if I say I'm a physicist, so I say I'm an entertainer. Yeah. But that people say, well, why would you do that? Why would you say that you're an entertainer when you obviously are conversant in all this stuff? And the answer is, I don't want to die. I don't want to lose my ability to enter a physics department. So I take on this completely wrong persona.
You tell people you're not a physicist because you aren't one, Eric. You've never done any physics. And you publicized that fact for years because you wanted to discourage real physicists from ever looking at your fake theory, since you knew that once that happened, the facade would crumble and reality would come crashing down. To academia, you said this is a work of entertainment released on April Fool's Day, so please don't even look at it. And to the podcast Bro Masses, you said this is the most revolutionary science of all time, and why is Big Bad Ivory Tower Academia ignoring me? It's so incredibly transparent that you have to be an intellectual toddler to not see the tactic. But no, the evil lizard people are coming to murder Eric because he's too close to the truth. Lay the fantasy on nice and thick, jackass.
I was told, we're worried that you're going to use it to legitimize yourself. It's like, I'm going to do that. Of course I'm going. I have a PhD from Harvard, you stupid. I mean, like, you guys imagine I'm a podcast guest?
Yes, that is literally all that you are. You are a fraud who tells lies on podcasts. That is your precise job. That is what you get paid by Peter Thiel to do. You have never done any science whatsoever, even during the time you fumbled your way through a doctorate and had your Israel connections pull strings at Harvard to get someone to help you finish it, as I elucidated in another video. You have never published a single thing, not even your shitty dissertation. You have zero publications. You are irrelevant. It's your moneyed connections that earn you sporadic FaceTime at these institutions, which brings shame to those institutions, so they tell you to keep your mouth shut because they know you're going to use them to pretend that you're a real scientist. You can't publish anything since you don't do anything, so I gave a talk at Place is the best you can hope for.
I am the greatest danger to the narrative. I'm the most followed mathematician in the United States. Maybe the world, Hannah Fry, maybe above it. That danger to the narrative is the problem.
Having lots of gullible followers on Twitter doesn't make you a mathematician, and it doesn't make you a threat to any narrative. You're a threat to democracy, but science doesn't give a shit about you any more than science can be accurately characterized as a narrative.
Could you briefly just describe, like, what is the so there's not a problem with string theory, or is string theory not complete, or is string theory has it reaped actual results?
Mathematically, it's reaped results, and string theorists have occasionally done really great work in a subject called quantum field theory. But quantum field theory isn't about the quantum field theory of the world. Quantum field theory is like calculus. It's something that's very useful, and it grew up in physics. But we've now found out that quantum field theory has to do with pure problems in mathematics that have nothing to do with physics.
That's right. Quantum field theories have nothing to do with physics, you guys. They definitely don't describe the fundamental forces that physics studies. QED isn't about electromagnetism at all, and QCD isn't about the strong nuclear force at all. It's just a bunch of stupid math that has zero correlation with reality. Anybody who knows literally the first thing about quantum field theories can immediately identify this as total horseshit. It's just a baseless claim that is used to sell the narrative that physicists are off doing silly math that has nothing to do with reality. It couldn't possibly be further from the truth. QED predicts the anomalous magnetic dipole moment of the electron to 12 decimal places. It is the single most precise agreement between theoretical calculation and experimental measurement in the history of science. When somebody says something as insanely stupid as what Eric just said, something so instantly and demonstrably and profoundly false, they should be totally discounted for the rest of their lives. Nobody should ever give a shit about anything Eric says ever again. And fortunately, we're getting close.
And what was the purpose of it? But by saying that physicists became too dangerous, the ideas became too dangerous, is the idea that the weapons would become so immense and powerful that they had to do something to stop and curb that?
Well, we didn't know how to control it, right? So in other words, for example, in 1940, we set up something called the Reference Committee, which I'm sure your listeners have never heard of. And the Reference Committee lived inside of the National Research Council. Now, why was it important? Because chain reaction physics was so hot. Once the neutron was found, right? So think about neutrons as bullets. They can go right into the middle of an atom because they're not positively charged, so they're not going to be repelled by the nucleus. And they can bust apart atoms that are barely being held together. And that's why you get bullets begetting bullets begetting bullets, and that's what a chain reaction is. The people who were doing that in the 30s suddenly found that when they mailed off a paper to a journal, if they weren't part of the secret group in Los Alamos, their paper got held up and sent back for revisions.
What a perfect demonstration of the Eric Weinstein formula. Here's this thing you've never heard of that probably doesn't even exist, which reflexively makes you believe I know more than you. Extend that to present an objective falsehood which conjures up conspiratorial thought. And the end point, blanket anti-establishment sentiment. In this case, the thing is the mysterious reference committee. I find no evidence of such a vaguely named entity having anything to do with nuclear fission. The falsehood is that nobody could publish research on nuclear fission. Total bullshit. In 1939, work was published on controlled chain reactions all over the world, especially in Europe, not Los Alamos. The internal logic doesn't even work. He's pretending that the only research being published was from the super secret group that didn't want anyone knowing what they were doing. He's constantly spewing trivially debunkable bullshit. He's just good at sounding like he's saying something important.
And I believe a lot of the junk is affixed to the narrative so that those who want to follow the institutional instruction to ignore the fact that this is happening can point to the crappiness, right? And so that's the out. And the really difficult thing that you do, and you do really well, is you try to piece together, okay, what's bullshit, what's real? There's a lot of real in the UFO story, and there's a lot of nonsense.
Right.
There's a lot of real in the COVID story and a lot of nonsense. The same thing is true for physics. But physics is more dangerous.
Joe is specifically terrible at separating what's bullshit from what's real. That's why he's had you on his show 8 fucking times. And your shithead little brother. And dozens of other frauds just as worthless as you, often spreading medical misinformation that kills people. Joe being so bad at precisely the thing you're glazing him for is kind of destroying human civilization, actually. Everything about the UFO stories is nonsense. Everything you regurgitate about COVID is nonsense. Almost everything that happens in this podcast bro space is nonsense. Physics is not at all like that, and legitimate physics is nowhere near as dangerous as all the fallacious narratives that assholes like you peddle.
So these specific scientists that are missing, whatever the number is, 5, 6 that you think right. are legitimate, what specifically are they working on that's so dangerous?
Well, the fusion guy, obviously, is at MIT. Is anybody who might, I don't know, fusion isn't my thing, plasma isn't my thing, but that is unquestionably dangerous if you imagine how much depends on oil.
And is it a good assumption that if you have one incredibly brilliant person that's at the head of this thing and they make a breakthrough, if you kill that guy, the whole thing is in disarray because the people that are under him, whatever people he has working with him, aren't as fully immersed in it as he is, that you can kind of like handicap a problem? It's like, let's say if there's...
The top 5 people.
It's an energy thing. Yeah. Let's say if it's an energy thing.
No, that's a terrible assumption that reflects a profound cluelessness about the scientific community. It is almost never the case that one singular researcher has exclusive domain over a particular breakthrough. There are so many groups working on fusion. There are over 150 research organizations, 50 private companies, tons of university physics groups worldwide, all working on fusion. There are a plethora of operational fusion facilities with reactors such as tokamaks that effectively perform fusion. Multiple groups have achieved net positive fusion at the reaction level, and they're working on scaling up to a functional plant. There are thousands of people who collectively share this knowledge about fusion. The idea that murdering a single person could somehow cripple progress in this area is fucking idiotic, and the only people who could fall for such a narrative are science illiterate toddlers whose entire conception of science is based on sci-fi movies where the one crazy dude with the crazy hair makes the crazy thing. End of story. Okay, let's skip a super long section where Eric tries to be relatable by talking about blues rock and get straight to the Epstein stuff.
No, you're one of the people that saw through him right away.
No, but he offered me partnership and I didn't take it. And I regretted that for a while.
Because you would have been cha-ching.
I would have been made Rich or deceased?
Probably both.
Probably both. Yeah, a couple times I've been offered real wealth and with crazy stuff, but the Epstein thing, I don't know that I've actually said that on a podcast. Yeah, he offered me partnership, and the only condition was that I had to get rid of my existing partners. Like, I had to stab my partners in the back in order to become his partner.
Oh, yeah. So he'd own you.
Yeah, in case you didn't know, Eric talks about Epstein all the fucking time. He's claimed on numerous podcasts that Epstein was closely following his development of geometric unity, which of course is a lie to inflate the legitimacy of his fake theory that absolutely nobody reputable would ever care about, while also making himself seem supremely adjacent to the cultural zeitgeist. Forrest Gump, remember?
I can't come up with a single explanation that makes sense of what I now know. And also the fact that the government outreach to me and to Sam Harris and to Lex Fridman. And, you know, there was this thing where these guys who checked out said there's going to be a massive disclosure and we need people to disseminate these things to the public. And you have a share of the public who listens to you. And we need to get you informed so that you can help mediate the disclosure.
That's right. The U.S. government selected Eric and Sam and Lex as the official ambassadors that would disseminate the super secret UFO truth, you guys. What an honor. I don't know what's funniest, a podcaster pretending to be important because they regurgitate these narratives, Eric pretending that the government would ever select him for literally anything, or that such blatant political distractions are being uncritically swallowed by the delusional masses who historically have always reflexively distrusted anything the government has ever said. Way to make an exception, guys.
On Piers Morgan, I said this thing, which is that New Mexico is the connector of the nuclear story, the Epstein story, and the UFO story. They're all going to come together. Remember when we were only talking about the island?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite moments are when Eric spews some conspiratorial crap that not even Joe will jump at, and he just sits and waits, hoping to get some traction. And when it doesn't happen, he just bails and pivots. It's so adorable.
But this is the story that, like, somehow we're so hung up about sex. We're either angry about trafficking or we're getting off on the idea that all these rich people are going to get their comeuppance, or, you know, we keep turning the Epstein story into something other than a scientific espionage story, which is one of its facets.
Eric is perplexed as to why everyone is so fixated on the global billionaire pedophile ring. Why is everyone freaking out about the decades of child rape that nobody is being held accountable for, you guys? I want to talk about scientific espionage. Holy fuck, what a douchebag.
Control of science, Joe, is not something that is officially a big issue, and it is a massive issue.
It's not publicly a big
issue. That's correct.
No, the idea that one person could control all of science is not an issue because that's objectively not a thing.
There's no thing more important than theoretical physicists, you idiots. And you don't fund these people and you don't watch them. Like, the Department of Energy is supposed to have counterintelligence to stop creeps from hanging around the national labs, which is America's secret university system. Hello.
Eric is too dumb to avoid constantly contradicting himself. Hey, Eric, are theoretical physicists the most brilliant paradigm-shifting geniuses in the world who wield such immense power with their big brains because they can create all kinds of crazy technologies that can be used to enslave the world? Or are they a bunch of clueless morons that haven't accomplished anything for the past 50 years because they all have their heads up a goose's ass chasing strings? Make up your fucking mind.
Epstein set up a listening post. Now, what's the UFO story? The UFO story is all about nukes. And what was Epstein doing in Cambridge, Massachusetts? The analog of Zorro Ranch is named One Brattle Square. It's right in the heart of Harvard Square. You know, I know it like the back of my hand. It's a 7-minute walk to the Science Center. The Harvard Science Center on floors 3, 4, and 5 is where the math department is. And who was Epstein's initial contact in the math department? It wasn't Martin Nowak, who he funded. It was a different guy named Benedict Gross. Dick Gross was an expert in number theory and in elliptic curves. And elliptic curves are what power the cryptography behind Bitcoin, behind public keys.
Random name, random concept, meaningless connections. Listen to my annoyed tone at having to explain all of this to you guys. This is Eric fabricating the illusion that he's the hotshot detective at the corkboard solving the case, when he's really just an irrelevant jackass with zero purpose outside of podcasts.
Jeffrey Epstein is a construct.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's this whole question about, like, why won't Jews talk about Jeffrey Epstein and the sex shit? It's like, as if I haven't been on this since 2004. Well, who's the only person who has the ability to build something? The CIA has its own construction company.
Oh, look, Eric the Zionist Cretan is trying to convince the viewers that Epstein was CIA, not Mossad. Isn't that shocking?
You know, Elon is constantly tripping over the fact that I think he's a wild guy. I'm up for wild guys. I want cowboy billionaires, cowboy physicists, cowboy everything. But in general, we don't want cowboys.
No, it's quite the opposite, in fact. There's nothing generally wrong with cowboys, but cowboy billionaires? Not so much. Riding and roping up politicians to serve the whim of the oligarchy at the severe peril of the public is not really a good thing, guys. Elon's a piece of shit, and so is your paymaster, Peter Thiel.
He knows about the history of my stuff and something called Cyber-Gwitten theory. He doesn't know anything concrete. How does he know all this stuff? He was in my world.
I'm important, you guys. Epstein thought I was smart and he wanted to understand my super awesome work. Trust me, bro.
At every turn in my life, since I was a young man, Jeffrey Epstein was there in the background, even though I only meet him once.
Why do you think that is?
Because we're interested in the exact same thing.
I'm interested in the same thing as Jeffrey Epstein is a fucking wild thing to say out loud, Eric. I know you've been the biggest laughingstock of the entire internet for several years now, but you sure seem eager to keep the title.
I care about finance and financial markets. I care about the CPI. I care about the fate of Israel. I care about evolutionary theory. I care about mathematics that goes, like, geometry, like the geometry of elliptic curves, but really more differential geometry. You care about physics.
Right. You care about pretending to know about money, since that's your fake title for Peter Thiel to cover for your podcast grifting. You care about Israel because you're a worthless genocide-supporting sack of Zionist excrement. You care about evolutionary theory because you're gearing up to support the oligarchy you represent as they merge with Christian nationalism and try to get religion taught in public school science classes. And you care about math and physics because that's the language you use to pretend to be a genius. What else is new?
He was meeting in my offices in San Francisco while I wasn't aware of it in 2017. I didn't know that.
Meeting in your offices?
Yeah.
He went to your office and met with who?
Well, with Peter. That's in the records.
About you?
No, I don't know. He hopefully not. I know that I'm in an email that he sends Peter late in the story, but I'm not going to discuss specifics. But no, I was telling Peter not to deal with him, and Peter thought I was overblowing the danger.
Well, it's a little too late for that, Eric. Thiel is all over the Epstein files, like thousands of direct correspondences, millions of dollars in investments. He denies having visited the island, but you go ahead and decide whether you buy that or not. I don't, especially given certain emails where he expresses specific interest in going. Thiel's Palantir is responsible for Israel being the high-tech terrorist state that it is, as well as ICE. And ultimately, that's the thread that always unites all of these assholes. Support for dystopian surveillance, domestic terrorism, imperialism, and genocide.
But what do you think his purpose was? Like, so getting connected to all these scientists, being around all this knowledge, the New Mexico, I still don't understand, like, what was the end game?
Can I get another drink?
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. You go, sir.
Interesting moment to deflect, Eric. What was Epstein's ultimate purpose indeed? Many say it was to gain leverage over world leaders and other global elites to blackmail them into supporting Israel. But that would make Israel evil, and Eric loves Israel.
Standard framing of Jeffrey Epstein as a Mossad asset is well supported. Robert Maxwell, Ghislaine's father, sold Israel backdoored promise software to Sandia National Laboratories in 1985. His eldest daughter, Christine Maxwell, built the FBI's post 9/11 counterterrorism data warehouse through her company, Chilliad. Isabel Maxwell, Christine's twin sister, co-founded ComTouch with Israel Unit 8200 alumni. Ghislaine ran the human intelligence operation, the Israel Intelligence Network, around both Maxwell and Epstein is documented and substantial. But the intelligence infrastructure supporting Epstein and Maxwell at Zorro Ranch points somewhere else, or to somewhere additional. It points to the United States military intelligence, plain and simple.
Right, list off a bunch of connections that firmly link Epstein and Maxwell to Israel, and then say, but look, also America. While the American-Israel military machine offers little distinction between the two regions, it's just a constant supply of weapons and money from one place to another. So there's not much to talk about here. Thoughts, Eric?
So this is what I've been trying to say all along. The only country that I'm absolutely positive was behind Jeffrey Epstein is us. You can't operate here. Look, right now we are in the middle of endless anti-Semitic Christmas. It just goes on forever.
That's right. Epstein has nothing to do with Israel. Everyone is just a bunch of dirty anti-Semites who don't like belligerent, genocidal ethnostates that are currently bombing and annexing the entire Middle East because Yahweh said it was cool.
So you think Epstein is essentially just a construct figurehead of an intelligence-gathering organization?
No.
No?
Epstein is a construct. First of all. Second of all.
I love Joe earnestly trying to follow this trail of grease, only for Eric to shut him down and immediately pivot. Nobody can be on his level, so stop trying.
What does this have to do with the science community?
One, we have huge amounts of power. The United States is terribly configured because we pretend that we're okay doing everything through our university system, which shouldn't be done.
All of science is done in the university system, and that's bad. But also, universities are pointless shitholes for woke losers where nothing gets done, since all the real science happens in secret government programs. And by the way, physicists are so otherworldly powerful, but also, physicists are idiots who haven't done anything but play with their dicks for the past 50 years, because string theory is stupid. Even Joe isn't dumb enough to put up with this crap indefinitely.
Like, you have to be honest about the fact that we're badly configured.
What do you mean by that?
We didn't know how deadly physics was. When Rutherford in 1911 said that there's a neutron, I'm sure nobody said to him, oh my God, you've ended the planet. Now new humanity is doomed. So it used to be the case that physics was something that was like interesting and fun. But now it's like the most deadly thing you can imagine, as well as being interesting.
Rutherford said there are neutrons in 1911? What? He discovered the atomic nucleus in 1917, and Chadwick discovered the neutron in 1932. This asshole is all over the place. Yes, physics produced apocalyptic weapons, and in possibly the most profound display of maturity nobody thought the human species was capable of, we didn't destroy ourselves with them, at least not yet. This news is older than Eric, so I'm waiting for the punchline.
So they let the physics people work out all these problems, and then they take whatever their findings are and apply them to weapons.
Boom, vroom, and zoom.
All right.
And that changed the economy, it changes the ability to compute. This is who I really am. This is what I really do. And I will not mouth this narrative that all of my colleagues will mouth. Physics is interesting. Yeah, a lot of the time it's dull.
This is who I am, Joe. I'm boom, vroom, and zoom. Just look at all of my incredible contributions to weapons and energy production and materials science and propulsion and communications and so much other stuff because I'm a wunderkind polymath Einstein guy. Just look at all of my precisely zero contributions to any area of science since I'm not a scientist and never have been. Can you believe this, jerk? Your colleagues are Joe Rogan and Theo Vaughn, dipshit, not scientists.
That's a real possibility.
Yeah.
That string theory exists as a distraction.
Joe, what do you think the odds are that a scientist can say, my failed theory is the only game in town and not get laughed out of town?
Zero, which is why absolutely nobody does that, since string theory isn't failed at all. You just refuse to talk about its empirical successes regarding things like predicting the viscosity of the quark gluon plasma. And absolutely zero people say it's the only game in town, because it isn't, since most theoretical physicists are working on other things. You're just quote mining Ed Witten because he referred to the fact that string theory is the only theory of everything that has a tiny shred of empirical grounding, and he's right. Get a new script, moron.
So what do you think they're working on, these people at this upstate New York University?
Well, what are we not working on? In other words, how do you discover what we're actually up to is in part you listen for the holes. What do I work on? I work on the ability to get out of the solar system. That is my life's mission.
It's your life's mission to get out of the solar system, yet you're 60 years old and you've done literally nothing whatsoever towards that mission. Your ego is over in the fucking Andromeda galaxy, but down here on Earth, you're just some douchebag who pretends to be smart on podcasts. It's absolutely insane that Eric would say something like this. He's not just glazing Elon Musk like he usually does, saying, "I'm such a smart guy and I'm telling you that we should give money to the genius rocket man who will get us off world." He is pretending that he himself is working on interstellar travel, despite never having published a single scrap of anything whatsoever in any area of human inquiry. This isn't 2017, Eric. Everybody knows what a loser you are. Just stop.
I think Elon is a bit of a pussy.
Okay. How so?
I don't know. He won't meet with me.
Well,
it's okay.
Maybe because you call him a pussy.
Yeah. No, but
maybe he's busy. Maybe he's trying to make chicks pregnant.
No.
Nothing like a little casual misogyny to endear yourself to the incels you're trying to win back, eh, Eric? Elon is a lot of things, most of them bad. But one feather in his cap is that he's too smart to give a shit about you. It's fun to watch you cry about it, though.
Elon doesn't trust scientists. For good reason, because they're weak.
You just got done with a huge rant about how physicists are the most powerful, super awesome mind ninjas in the world making paradigm-shifting technology on the regular. The whiplash is exhausting.
The goal is to get out of the solar system, and we're so far away from everything good that there's no way of doing it under relativity. So why are we not researching the only thing that can save us, which is diversification? We need to spread out to the largest number of habitable worlds possible.
So this implies some sort of a new propulsion system.
This implies new science.
New
Stop
science.
Thinking technology.
Okay.
There's no way that you can't engineer your way out of a science problem. You have to science your way out
and
of
what
it.
Would be that science?
Post-Einstein, post-relativity. That's what I do.
You don't do any science at all, Eric. And no, the fastest way around the universe would be wormholes, which are firmly grounded specifically in general relativity. They just require an amount of energy that is absolutely unthinkable, making it an engineering and money problem, not a science problem. You are trivially wrong, as always.
If you can only go the speed of light at right. your best and you can't even get anywhere close to that, right. how are you going to get to something 4 years, light years away?
Okay.
In a fantasy world, by the time you go and come back, even assuming all no,
everybody be
no,
dead.
No, no, assume you can go at under the speed of light, just under. You can use time dilation and relativistic effects to your benefit, but it's going to cost you 8 years to go and come back.
Right.
Nobody would be coming back, jackass. In every movie about this concept, you have a huge ship transporting thousands of people to establish a new colony on another world. Nobody is coming back. You say you want people living on other worlds because everything is going to go to shit here, so why are you pretending they should be coming back? The science behind new forms of propulsion are well established. Fusion, solar sails, matter-antimatter annihilation. We know about this shit. It's just a nearly insurmountable technical challenge. The physics itself is well understood. Making an engine that exploits that physics is crazy hard. If we could build an engine that operates on antimatter, we could get up to a quarter of the speed of light and send a few thousand people to another system within a generation. None of this is mysterious. It's just hard.
Okay, I don't want to do that. If I'm going to explore the cosmos, I don't want to use... I don't want to live in space.
So what are the alternatives?
The observers. The successor to space time, I'm happy to predict this on your show, will be named the observers, which is a combination of not just using a four-dimensional space-time manifold, but a 14 and a four-dimensional space simultaneously. This was what I was talking about at the university yesterday.
And how would that, like when you say the difference between science and technology,
so
how would that science be applied?
If we look at the surface of this table, I can't do this to it.
Can't spread it apart, move
right.
it, right.
It's called pinch to zoom.
Right.
It's a multi-touch gesture invented around 2003 or something, debuted at TED. But if I come to this device, I can do that.
Your phone.
Right. So imagine that this is space-time.
Okay.
And this is the observers. So if I want to go to a distant star, there's no way I'm going to just go really fast. Right. That's dumb. And I need an energy source, and I need to do things that we can't normally do. You have to jailbreak space-time. If Einstein is in force, we all die. If we go beyond Einstein, some of us will live and some of us will die.
It's so simple. The Observerse, you guys. Just pinch to zoom and make everything in the universe closer. Jailbreak space-time like the iPhone you bought on eBay. Einstein was too dumb to figure this out. He needed a W before his name to be smart enough to figure out the Observerse. This is how you know Eric is absolutely done pretending geometric unity is a thing. He has thrown in the towel. This is his new shiny toy.
In part, what I'm trying to do is to jailbreak space-time. That's what I'm actually doing. And I'm doing it with zero support, with no confirmation that this is real, because something is controlling my entire community. To make this funny ha-ha, just like Forbidden City, was Jack Raper has gone mad. He thinks that there's a city in New Mexico where there's a mayor who's a second Einstein developing a doomsday weapon. Is that funny? What a loon, that guy. What an idiot. Ha ha. That's what's going on, Joe.
Yep. Lone rogue cowboy trailblazer fighting against the evil corrupt system to bring everybody to outer space and save humanity. The physics community is all about boom, vroom, zoom, changing the world, but nobody will listen to Eric's better than Einstein ideas because reasons. Same old script.
We live in Flatland. We don't know we live in Flatland. And I know what that, technically the name is fiber dimension, what it is. We have to gain access to it, which is discovering that somebody gives you an obsidian rock that has a property that you've never seen before called pinch to zoom. So I need to make the distance to the nearest star small so I can go with reasonable speed.
Or instantaneously.
I don't need instantaneously. If I have something 4 light years away and I can make it 100 feet away, I can walk 100 feet easily enough.
Eric wants to drag Proxima Centauri over to just 100 feet away so we can walk there. There is absolutely zero downside to being 100 feet away from a star. It wouldn't instantly vaporize the whole planet or anything. In general, nothing bad could happen by rearranging the entire galaxy like a fucking sandbox video game, a thing that is precisely as undesirable as it is physically impossible. Astounding.
And you feel like it's possible to hide all this from the general public?
Well, my point is you're not going to hide it. No. The same way they did it before would be spoiled by satellites. Right now, if you tried to do Los Alamos, you couldn't do it because of the satellites.
Right.
So it has to be hidden in plain sight. It has to look like something that it isn't. So if you asked me, let's imagine you asked me a different question. Let's imagine you asked me, Eric, nobody's willing to give you money. Nobody's willing to employ you. Nobody's willing to have you speak at their seminar, despite the fact that you have complete blue chip credibility. How would you organize a secret team to get control of our adversaries, the world, and the ability to traverse the cosmos? I sure as shit wouldn't build a chemical rocket company. It's dumb. But I'd do it as cover.
Eric so transparently wants to have a conversation with himself that he's just putting flattering questions in Joe's mouth and answering them. You have zero credibility, Eric, and it's specifically because you say moronic shit like this. It's so dumb to build rockets if you want to go to space. Of course, he has to throw in the word chemical because it's true that combustion isn't going to get us very far. But once again, plenty of other paradigms in propulsion have been firmly validated on the theoretical level. Somebody just has to build the shit. And Eric has a better chance of fronting the next hit boy band than a crack squad of researchers that will fly us to the stars.
I'm using Soviets, Joe. Ex-Soviets.
Okay.
Because those guys haven't lost the magic. And, I had Frankel and a guy named Misha Kapranov come down for 5 days to kick the shit out of my theory. It was crazy. Absolutely crazy. We're drinking vodka at like 10 a.m., having insane meals and just working our asses off the way we're supposed to.
How'd it go?
Amazing.
What'd they think about your theory?
So far, all systems go, Joe.
So basically, Eric sits alone in his kitchen, stuffing his face and getting hammered all day, while shouting, "All systems go!" at blow-up dolls in the other chairs, which he pretends are physicists. At least that's my bet, because he sure as fuck isn't discussing any theories of his own with any physicists, since he doesn't have any. GU wasn't one, and his new bullshit isn't one either.
Can we just pull up... I just want to do this for my own reasons. Can we pull up the pinned tweet on my Twitter profile? Which, by the way, thank you for retweeting.
No problem.
Yeah. Love you.
Love you, too. What is it? Let's go to it real quick.
Those two formulas, the bottom one says CFJ. C is Sean Carroll. The middle F is Fields. And J is Roman Jakiv, a professor at MIT. Sean Carroll's second most cited paper has this as its action or Lagrangian. Right above that is my action or Lagrangian. And what you see, all those zeros is things that Sean Carroll doesn't know how to handle. And that thing where you see a P, you see star parentheses P in the bottom line, not the bottom, the second from the bottom, is Sean's relativity violating hack. Sean Carroll did not disclose that geometric unity is a direct competitor to his most cited work.
Sean Carroll is a stupid butthole who doesn't even know how to do math, and he never even talks about how GU is a competitor with his dumb theory, even though no, it fucking isn't, since GU isn't a theory. But I just said a bunch of math stuff, so Sean is dumb, and he definitely didn't publicly humiliate me on Piers Morgan so brutally that I will never fully recover. Take that, Sean.
The good news is I have read Eric's paper. Here it is. I actually have it here, right here. First thing you got to do is make sure that your theory makes contact with modern physics as it is understood. If you have a new paper out, physicists are going to look at it. They're going to look for, you know, where's the Lagrangian?
So this is, for people that are just listening, this is showing that you have Lagrangians in your, these
it's showing Sean Carroll lying.
Right. Did you... Did you? The interactions are in there as well. But you call? Did you call him out on this on the show?
I couldn't believe that he'd do this.
So you didn't
say
anything? I
was stunned.
Oh, snap. Sean lied and Eric brought receipts. Look at his fake paper. It has the word Lagrangians as the header for a whole section. So Sean is a butt-faced liar and Eric is super awesome. In reality, there are no legitimate Lagrangians in this section. This was debunked in extreme detail with the help of Christian Furco in the video about his interaction with Eric at the Perimeter Institute debacle. I'll play a short clip now.
Is there actually any Lagrangian in this paper? Now, technically, if we're being extremely generous, there is a section, section 9 of the paper, and below equation 9.4, he writes in very obtuse notation what he claims to be the Lagrangian for geometric unity. So there is a formula there that you can point to. But this is kind of fake. So I think merely mentioning, oh, here is a Lagrangian in the paper, but not actually defining all of the ingredients. Crucially, this Lagrangian involves the Chiab operator, which we've mentioned, which has not been defined. So you can write this formula, but if pieces are not defined, I don't think this qualifies as a Lagrangian, because no physicist can use this, can do calculations, can make predictions, because the pieces are just not there. So even though you can maybe point to this and say, okay, well, Sean says there's no Lagrangian, I think more precisely, what Sean probably meant is there is no usable, well-defined Lagrangian in the paper, which is absolutely true.
That's right. Several qualified experts, including Tim Nguyen and Christian Furco, have debunked the shit out of geometric unity on my channel. Eric has never responded to any of their points or even acknowledged their existence in any way whatsoever. Sorry, Eric. Everyone can smell the damage control a mile away, which is extra pathetic considering the Sean Carroll thing was a fucking year ago. So take your Chiab operator and go fuck yourself.
So my claim is...
Why didn't you respond? Like, right there.
Joe, what am I... Let's just... One more second. I'm in a world that makes absolutely no sense, and I don't want to disappear. I'm not suicidal. I have been the major competitor of string theory for 42 years. I'm not a podcaster. I'm not a guest. I'm not an entertainer.
You are specifically a podcast guest and entertainer. That is literally all you are. That's even how you identify yourself in your fake GU paper. You are not a competitor of string theory. You don't even understand string theory. You're a fucking poser. And your response to Joe asking why you didn't press Sean about this alleged lie regarding Lagrangians shouldn't be, I didn't push back because somebody's gonna kill me. It should be, I can't push back because if I initiated an actual discussion about Lagrangians, he would have explained how this does not qualify. So I chose to stay silent and bitch about it later by pointing to the vague bullshit I call a Lagrangian even though it isn't. All set?
For some reason, the things that we're talking about on this show are dangerous. We're having dangerous conversations, Joe. That's what JRE does.
JRE has dangerous conversations. Whining like a little bitch about how much string theory sucks is dangerous, Joe. Spewing endless horseshit about advanced ancient civilizations that definitely didn't exist is super dangerous, because big archaeology is gonna roll a boulder on you like an Indiana Jones. Telling millions of people that ivermectin cures literally everything is dangerous because the big pharma mafia is gonna whack you. Even though nobody has ever done that, because there is no danger, apart from the extreme danger of the medical misinformation Joe spreads that kills people. Jesus fucking Christ, what a melodramatic cunt.
And sometimes you go all the way and sometimes you puss out. But, like, this is a dangerous place because they can't tell you what to do. And that's why they put you in, like, a different color on the screen during COVID. Because you went against the narrative. The narrative was, go get vaccinated. The narrative was, if you think that COVID came from anything other than a wet market, you're a racist. Every time you've gone up against the narrative, they try to destroy you.
The infamous they is trying to destroy you for going against the narrative, Joe. Vaccinating during a global pandemic with vaccines whose safety and efficacy had been clinically demonstrated is just a stupid narrative. Not like the bullshit narratives that they're gene therapy, or that they make people's hearts explode, or that they cause cancer, or that they killed millions of people. Those are straight facts. SARS coronavirus 2 originating from the Huanan food market, like literally all of the epidemiological data confirms, is just a stupid narrative. Not like the bullshit narrative that is the multifaceted lab leak propaganda campaign. That's the super hot truth. Eric is just gargling Joe's balls and reinforcing the facade of what Joe wants to believe he is, so that he will continue to greenlight Eric's dogshit stories. Nothing more.
So then they leapfrogged us in some propulsion technology.
I believe that there is a nation in Asia, China, which puts on amazing drone shows and buys up our academics who aren't being paid because we're sitting around bitching, what have you technical people done for us? Why do you deserve to be paid from taxpayer dollars? And the answer is, oh, shut the fuck up. We created your economy, you stupid bitches. We're the baddest of the bad. We are the source of your wealth and your strength. And you come to us bitching about your taxpayer dollars? You deserve to lose to China, you little...
I love how Eric says we, like he's part of the community that innovated all the technology he's referencing, when he probably can't even build IKEA furniture without hiring a task rabbit. And again, are physicists superheroes or incompetent losers? Make up your fucking mind.
I have no words for the new crop of tech billionaires who were bitten by COVID.
What do you mean by that?
Well, they think that Anthony Fauci was a scientist, and so they believed in science before Fauci, and now they don't believe in science.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Oh, my God.
I literally don't understand what you're saying.
All right.
I will give Joe an ounce of credit for not always blindly nodding his head when Eric is making zero sense, but sometimes telling him he's not making a fucking ounce of sense. Fauci is objectively a scientist, a highly distinguished one. Eric's just name-dropping him because the brain-dead podcast bro masses have been trained to recoil at any mention of him. The next part also makes no sense. Who are the new crop of tech billionaires? Does that include your paymaster, Peter? You're saying they were all pro-science before the pandemic and anti-science after? Or are you saying the opposite of that? Never mind, you're saying literally nothing, as usual.
Silicon Valley had a huge about-face when they figured out that Fauci was full of shit. A lot of them bankrolled our universities. They supported science. They were Democrats. And then somehow COVID happened. And because they had this childlike belief in universities, science, and the Democratic Party, they ran to the Republican Party like children, not understanding that Anthony Fauci was not a scientist. COVID is a giant lie. Collins and Fauci and Ralph Baric and Peter Daszak are menaces to the credit of science.
Okay, let's unpack that mountain of horseshit. The oligarchy has run over to the Republican Party because the Republicans are in power and oligarchs can purchase the deregulation of all their industries. Elon can throw money at Trump and Trump will give Elon the keys so he can tinker under the hood with Doge and execute mass layoffs slash regulations and gain access to internal systems across 15 federal agencies so as to halt investigations into Tesla, SpaceX, and Neuralink. They run over to the Republicans because Trump will deregulate AI and its data centers, expand federal contracts right after purchasing huge amounts of stock to enrich himself on insider trading, and appoint corporate shills to the head of every federal agency so that nobody can do anything to halt their expansion and wealth acquisition, no matter who they harm. That's why, Eric, and I'm not saying they couldn't do any of that with the Democrats, they can and have, but they can do it 10 times more with Trump. What else? No, Fauci wasn't full of shit at all. That's the narrative that was spun to assign a boogeyman to distract from the mountain of anti-science propaganda surrounding the pandemic and vaccines. When you say COVID was a giant lie, what the fuck are you even saying? That viruses and pandemics aren't real? Because that's what it fucking sounds like, which would put you on par with flat earthers. You talk shit about Peter Daszak because he upholds the true narrative of zoonotic origin that contradicts the lab leak propaganda you support because it suits the agenda of the oligarchs you serve. A lot of people still haven't gotten this memo, and they whine about it in my comment sections. But let me say it once again for clarity, 100% of the science supports zoonotic origin, and 0% of the science supports lab leak. Lab leak is a multi-layered propaganda campaign that was started by Steve Bannon to redirect anger regarding Trump's abysmal pandemic response during his re-election campaign. And it morphed into a bunch of other bullshit, thanks to Eric's loser baby brother and a bunch of other frauds. I debunk absolutely all of it in painstaking detail in this video, so please watch it.
Where are our scientists? Where are our intellectuals? Where are our people who care more about, how do I say this, glory and immortality rather than private jet travel? You could not get me to give up my claim on immortality for private jet travel. I don't understand the fascination with private jets. They're cool, mildly.
Eric, the only claim to immortality you have is going down as the single biggest douchebag in human history.
Michael Vassar made a point to me, as he often does, which is really dangerous. And he said, when did the world's smartest people stop caring about their own game and their own prizes and start focusing on the prizes of the people pursuing wealth and status? And he said, somehow when scientists care about McLarens and Lamborghinis, something terrible has happened. And boy, has that, like a splinter in my mind turning over, I can't get rid of it. He's right.
Scientists don't have Lamborghinis, you fucking tool. Almost zero scientists are exceptionally wealthy. The average salary is barely six figures. They are scientists because they don't give a shit about Lamborghinis. They do specifically care about doing good science and receiving accolades from within the scientific community. This isn't fucking Buckaroo Banzai. The physicist, neurosurgeon, test pilot, rock star, millionaire, alien fighter isn't real. Tony Stark isn't real. You say shit like this, and then you wonder why real scientists treat you like a loser troll? Seriously?
We got to make sure that the public intellectuals are not dominated by billionaires. As much as I love these guys, they're my friends.
I think you're right.
Yeah, they're smart as hell. They wouldn't have gotten to be billionaires otherwise, but they're always talking their book. Always. Look at, you know, people are like famous libertarians and they become surveillance people. You know, right. Bill Gates, you know, is he just buying farmland for,
right,
to be, he wants to make sure that we have a steady supply of food, of something. Right. We've got to stop the addiction to billionaires as the only people we trust because at least they're rich.
Let's end it there. I got to wrap this up, but I appreciate you very much. This is very good.
I can't take your fucking yapping anymore, Eric. We have to stop. The kickback from Peter just isn't worth it. By the way, the little gem at the end of how we need to stop trusting billionaires while your entire existence is peddling propaganda for billionaires was just the last straw. Shut your dumb face forever. As depressing as this can get, I do want to offer a tiny kernel of hope. If you scroll through the comment section of this episode, it's almost exclusively people shitting all over Eric, remarking at what an insufferable, pretentious douchebag he is. Even the Rogan sphere that made Eric doesn't want anything to do with him anymore. Could the tide be turning? Could the podcast bro space be slowly figuring out that they're being lied to at all times? I don't want to get ahead of myself, but whatever we can find that nudges them in that direction, let's be sure to keep pressing. And finally, be sure to never fall for Eric's crybaby reaction to those who expose him, about how we are such awful mean bullies that thrive on being toxic, negative jerk faces all the time. Me especially.
I don't sense with either you or myself any desire to just negate people. If somebody is just determined to be horrible,
yeah,
I don't mind commenting. That person seems to want to be horrible. Dave Farina, perfect example.
Yeah, that's the stuff. Never forget, Eric works for Peter Thiel. His entire purpose in life is to spread propaganda on podcasts that massages the public towards accepting Thiel's agenda. He runs Palantir, which is a fucking nightmare. His tech is used to carry out genocide. His tech is being used to turn America into an authoritarian surveillance state. And that's just Exhibit A. Thiel runs Inference Review, where all the Discovery Institute asshats publish fake papers. He is aligned with Christian theocrats. He represents the eradication of democracy and freedom. He is a disgusting, evil man. And if Peter was Jabba the Hutt, Eric would be this little shithead. Did you know that this thing from Star Wars has a name? It's Salacious B. Crumb. That's Eric. A shrill creature making loud noises for scraps from his mob boss master. That's Eric's legacy, and it sounds like the internet has finally caught up to this fact. So that's it for this installment of Eric Weinstein plummeting towards rock bottom. Has he gone as low as he can go? One would think so, but he always seems to surprise us. So let's see what other self-humiliation he has in store. Until next time.